Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Well, hello, everyone. I want to welcome you back once again to Holy Ghost Radio Show. I am so excited. We have our weekly guests on here, Apostle Bowman and Prophetess Raleigh out of Memphis, Tennessee. We are so excited, and we're going to continue our series, Demons and Deliverance. They have so much they want to reveal tonight. I want you guys to help me welcome them to the show. How are you guys on tonight?
Amen. How are you?
We are blessed. We are blessed. Excited about what God is revealing, what God is doing. I'm just excited about just everything about the Holy Ghost. I'm excited about the radio show. I'm excited all my listeners. I'm getting a lot of feedback. They have really been blessed by these series. And I just want to thank you guys for, again, just being obedient, being faithful to this show once a week. Now, I know you guys said you want to discuss some things on tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and let you just do your thing.
Wow. Praise God. I think Prophetess is going a little bit first. Praise God.
I just wanted to just kind of express just a couple of things about what we're going to be talking about tonight. I'm going to be brief because, as usual, I'm going to have Apostle go first and then I'll go the second half. But tonight is very imperative for every listener. And please hear my heart, hear my spirit, and hear the Lord, you know, within me. But when you get phone calls on this particular show, whenever you get a phone call that comes in, unless it's important, and we're going to pray, Apostle's going to pray, and he's going to cover us under the blood. This is not to scare you. The enemy, first of all, let's get this straight. The enemy can't do anything to you or to your children, to your family, to your home that you don't want done and that the Lord does not want done. You have to understand the authority that you walk in. This is the purpose of this show once a week with Apostle and myself. Understand that warfare is real. God is real. Satan is real. Demons is real. Angels, they are very real. The spirit realm is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. So much so to my six-year-old. I'm not waiting, and I know it's going to rub against some people's spirit, but I'm not waiting. I'm not hesitating. I'm already educating my six-year-old on demons and on deliverance. And teaching him that he has power. If your children are dreaming it, if they're having nightmares, then they're old enough to be taught. If your children can go to school and they're learning about sex education in the fifth and the fourth and the third grade now and in the second grade, then they can learn about deliverance. Amen? So, but one of the things that I would like to warn the people tonight, well, I don't want to say warn because, you know, it sounds so spooky and we're not spooky saints, but what I do want to warn or what I want to tell the people, inform the people about is your phone calls. Apostle's going to be tapping into the teachings on the Akashic Records and the dangers of it. And a lot of the times there are electrical waves that take place even in the realm of the spirit. There are portals in the realm of the spirit, and they will travel through your phone lines. And people will call you not wanting a thing. Somebody may call you, girl, I just want to call you so we can see if we can get our nails done tomorrow. Listen, if you know that the call is not important, do not answer, do not click over. We're going to cover the lines under the blood. We're coming against every spirit of voice and voice, every spirit that comes to attack, even the radio show that comes through media, spirits that come to attack everything that does not exalt the power of God. Amen. So if it comes against the power of God, if it distorts, if it comes to confuse, if it comes to hinder, then it's not God. And we're going to attack those very things tonight. Tonight you're going to find out, how is it that when I go to these services, how they know my social security number? How they know the last four digits of my birthday or my, you know, telephone number? And how they know this? And wait a minute, he told me all about my stuff, but he gave me no direction in the realm of the spirit. I felt no conviction. I felt no compassion from Christ. Why is it that this person knew so much about me? Why is it that when I talk to this prophet, I feel like I was talking to a psychic? You're going to find out, and you're going to be able to decipher between the true prophets of the Lord versus the false prophets, the Akashic records, things like that. The enemy does not want us to know this stuff, doesn't want us to hear it, so I'm going to turn it over to Apostle as we get ready to pray. So I just wanted to let everybody know to be very cautious of the telephones. Please understand, when we go into these teachings, lights sometimes flicker. Sometimes we get activities with blenders, microwaves, whatever. We had a testimony of a girl. It's not a testimony, but we had a story of a girl who came in our school of the prophets, and we tapped into this subject, and she was looking off and on to tell the time on her wrist, and by the time she looked down at this watch, the glass was already shattered. She had no idea how the glass shattered. Just sitting in class taking notes. She didn't bang her wrist or anything. The enemy does not want this information out. Now I'm going to turn it over to Apostle as we go further in the teachings. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank
Praise
you.
The Lord. Now, Apostle, before you get into it, I want to let everyone know, if you guys have, if you know right now you're going to have any questions, comments, concerns, press 1. I'm going to give them a time enough to say what they're going to say, but I don't want to wait the 5 minutes before the show ends and everybody start pressing 1 because they don't have enough time to really, really deal with the questions and comments. So I want to let you guys know, please, if you know you're going to have any kind of comments or anything, press 1 now. Go ahead, Apostle.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We're just going to begin. Let me make sure you can. Can you hear me real good?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. God, we give you praise tonight. God, we thank you on tonight, Lord God. God, I just praise you. I thank you, God, for being God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are all-knowing, you're all-powerful, God, and you're everywhere at the same time. Father God,
yeah.
In the name of Jesus, God, I ask God that you'll reach, yes, God. God, move from the north to the south, to the east to the west, God. God, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Do it right now, God. God, even for those that's calling on, God, even those in the chat room, God, those that are online tonight, God, bless your people, God. I thank you, God, for Satan being bound, rebuked, and cast out now in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare he has no place, no power, and no authority. In the name of Jesus, God, we plead the blood and we apply the blood of Jesus to this line, God. Ah, yes, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we establish everything in your name tonight, God. We know, God, that there's no greater name than that name. God, I thank you, Lord God, for the power that's being loosed right now because of your name, Jesus. God, I thank you right now, Father God. Oh, God, for divine releases. God, I thank you right now, God, for loosing the captive. God, I thank you right now, God, for setting the captive free, God. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, God, and you speak, God. Holy Ghost, speak like you've never spoken before. I don't want to say anything I've ever said before. I don't want an old anointing. I want a fresh anointing, God, and you say what you have to say, God. Holy Ghost, we loose you to do what you want to do. This is your radio show. You have your way, God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Y'all going to have to pray for me that I just don't run on without anybody.
Amen.
Because God gave me a word tonight before I go into the teach about the second heaven and about soothsaying and about the Akashic Records. God gave me a word tonight about yes, Holy Ghost.
Yes, God.
Yes, Holy Ghost. He gave me a word tonight, and he said, those that are mine. Yes, God. He said, those that are mine.
Mm-hmm.
When I speak, they come out.
Yes,
and
God.
I don't know who that's for. But God says those that are his sheep, when they hear his voice, they hear him, and they come out. I want you to go with me. He gave me the scripture. He told me to go to John chapter 10, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start at the first verse. And it says, I'm reading from the NIV translation. And it says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up, yay, yes, God, by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The Lord's going before you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, tonight, on my end, we're talking about proper liars. We're talking about false prophets.
Mm.
I'm talking about soothsayers. Lord, 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 Lord. Whether you know it or not, people are dabbling in the dark arts, and they're coming to church because it's money. And because we are so hyped on gifts and not the anointing, our praise, I want you to think about something. So many times we have so many people that get up and say absolutely nothing, and we dance and we shout. I remember a pastor was talking to a church congregation prophetess, and he was saying, come on, tap your neighbor and tell your neighbor. He said, neighbor. And they said, neighbor, you are looking at an idiot and a bastard. And they said, oh, my God. They just stopped like, oh, my God, pastor, did you just say that? Oh, my God. But people, I mean, he did it again. He said, come on, lift your hands and say with me, say, neighbor, oh, neighbor, lift your hands. Because when you lift your hands, the blessings of the Lord falling on a complete idiot, and the people begin to look at the pastor like, oh, my God, what's going on, pastor? Why'd you say that? He said, because y'all will shout at anything because you don't know the difference between noise and the anointing.
Amen.
And you can tell the difference between noise and anointing. I should not leave church, and what I was dealing with got stronger. You know that you're dealing with an anointed vessel of God when you see the anointing break the yoke. And there's too many of us that are going in. We're still talking about witchcraft in the church. Because it's witchcraft, because you can come in church and you still leave the same or worse. And there's not a yoke. I remember a pastor telling us that. That if the anointing destroys the yoke, if it's not destroying the yoke, then that anointing is a false anointing and is strengthening the yoke.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So many of us are dealing, prophets, many of us, I'm just talking to the Holy Ghost tonight, many of us are dealing with Holy Ghost-filled, fire-baptized, yoked-up believers.
Your believers, we're yoked down because we don't know our word. We don't know what we believe. So anybody can come up to you and give you your address and your license plate number, your social security number, but they're not telling you whether or not you're still going to hell that year.
Oh, Jesus.
You don't know when your D-Day is. There's a dash between your birth and your death day. And in that dash, you got to make sure that your purpose is fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, Jesus. And I am so revved up because God is pulling cover on everything that does not give him glory. And God is going to unveil it. God's going to reveal it. God said tonight that you are coming out. You are coming out. There are people on this line, Tiana, that go to people, that go to witchcraft churches, and God said you're coming out, and you're coming out now. You are having a day not to come out. And we got even worse people that are spiritual, but they're superstitious. They're spiritual, but they're religious.
Yes.
A demon is not a crayon. There's no demon in crayons. There's no demons in drawings. There's no demons inside of inanimate objects. And a lot of stuff that we're casting out is emotions, and they will return. And God is rebuking it tonight. That religious spirit must die in you tonight.
Yeah.
Oversee the chastening of the Lord. Because if he's rebuking you and chastening you, says he loves you. Because what God is really about to have the enemy unleash, and hear me well, God is about to allow the enemy to unleash an onslaught on the church that we are not ready for with our, oh God, with our gold suits and our big hats. Oh, help us, God. Help us, God. We're not ready. We're not ready for the battle of the day of the Lord. We're not ready. You're not ready to see a real demon. You ain't ready to see a real spirit manifest. It's too many people coming to church shouting and dancing, but can't drive a spirit out. It's too many people shouting and dancing and don't know the person laying hands on them is in witchcraft. It's too many people coming to the church praising with no power. And those days are over. They're over. I come to announce to you tonight, they are over, and the bondage of the wicked one is broken. I quench the power of the wicked one in the mighty name of Jesus. I quench it right now.
Yes.
It's got to die. It can't live another day. You got to understand that it's, listen, God's voice does not betray his character. God's not going to tell you to do something that he's not going to do. And it's a whole lot of people, so many people that have come to church and say, you know, God told me that you're going to get $10,000 and, you know, you're going to get married. And then they come to the person after church and hook up with them for a rendezvous in the hotel. And that ain't God.
Whoa.
To the person afterward. And the lawsuit that the person prophesied they were supposed to win didn't come to pass. And a lot of times you can tell a false prophet because the first part of that word will come to pass, but the latter end of it doesn't. Because the false prophet is after your money. The false prophet is after your prosperity in the spirit. It's after what keeps you alive. The false prophet's job is to find out what makes you tick, because the Holy Ghost doesn't, oh God, they don't have the Holy Ghost for real. They have a familiar spirit. And that familiar spirit doesn't know all. So it has to get close to you to get to know you. Got to get close to you to know what your likes and dislikes are. Oh, God. That's why, I don't know if you ever experienced that. Have you ever had friends with somebody and all of a sudden they start dressing like you and acting like you and then they're speaking in tongues like you?
Yes.
But, oh, God. That spirit is called the spirit of the dove. That is an imitator of the spirit of God. And let me tell you something. It can give you on prophecies. It can give you on information. But it cannot give you revelation. It can't do it. God is obligated to reveal you his word. The enemy, oh, my God, my God, my God, my God. Don't you know that the enemy will expose to you the word and still keep you blind about what it's really saying? So that it strengthens the demon that's on you. Lord, help Jesus. You have to identify, expose, and incapacitate the strong man. You have to understand that the kingdom of darkness operates in deception and secrecy. Like we said last Friday, occult means in secret and in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. So don't be fearful when demons manifest in your church. It's letting you know that it can't stay.
Yes.
When the demons start screaming out and people, you know, oh, God, we go to a church and so many people want to lay hands and do different stuff. But you got to be careful because you will, oh, God, you will transfer a spirit. Help me to teach tonight, God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's people that are laying hands on folk that are transferring what's on them into other people. So then we don't have reproducers of Christ. Now we got another you. We got another lazy you in the church. We got another backbiting, gossiping you in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes, Holy Ghost. Yes,
God. I just wanted to add on just for one split second. I know I tell y'all famous. Hear from me in the second hour. But Apostle said something that was just so profound. When you hear demonic activity coming out like that in a service, first things first, if you do not see leadership deal with that right away, there is a problem. Unless the Lord has told the leader specifically not to deal with that, there is a problem. And if the leader is not to deal with it, there is somebody there who should deal with it. We're in the season and we're in this timing of the Lord where demonic manifestation is going to be at its highest peak. However, we're also in a timing and in the period of the Lord where God is beginning to use the members in the pew. It's almost like the glory is leaving the pulpit. You still have anointed preachers and leaders and things of that nature, but it's also God is anointing the people in the church now. They're sitting in the pews. Even though we got witchcraft in the pew, because we have witchcraft in the pews, we have witches, we have warlocks, we have sorcerers, we have false prophets, and we have liars, and we have fake people that sit in those pews. And yes, the church is a hospital, so we can't shun the people, and we can't treat them any kind of way. However, it has to be dealt with. There is an issue. I got a problem with a church that will not deal with the devil when it manifests. You know, a woman of God told me one day, she said, you don't ever show a devil how to act. You cast them out. You don't speak peace to a demon. If someone bucking in the church, and you know it's the spirit. Now, everybody that bucking don't have a demon. I want to bust that one up. But if you know by the power of the Holy Ghost that rests in you, that it is a demonic spirit in that person that's causing them to slither on the ground like a snake, you don't throw your hands on them and speak peace. Because what you're doing is, Satan, I want you to obey, okay? Don't come out. You don't have to come out because I don't want you to embarrass us. So I'm going to tell you peace. Firstly, Jesus spoke the word peace when he was rebuking the storm. He was not rebuking a demon. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That was him exercising his rights and his authority over the marine kingdom. The spirit of Leviathan, the spirit of Asherah, all of these other spirits that lies in that area, the spirit of the dragon or the serpent, all of those spirits that rest in the marine kingdom. We're going to go through all of that. It's such a long, long story. We're going to go through all of that. But Jesus was exercising his authority over that spirit because it wasn't just, it was just a storm over the sea and the apostles got afraid. No. They understood the authority that Jesus had, but they did not have the faith. So that's why he spoke peace to a storm. In other words, he said, no, stop now. He spoke to the team. Help me, Jesus. He spoke to that marine spirit. It was not in anybody. It was in water. So when a person comes in your service, and they're saying, oh, I got a demon, or there's a demon here, and oh, they're bucking up, and oh, they're jumping, oh, she's sliding around, and she's slithering, and she's dancing provocatively, and oh, my God, she's doing all these demonic activities, and there's a fight that's breaking out in the church, or there's this, or there's that. You know, whatever it may be, you don't speak peace to her. That's religious.
Mm-hmm.
You don't tell a devil how to act. You don't say, behave, Satan. I don't want you to embarrass me because, you know, I can't care. These kinds come out by fasting and praying, and I ain't been on my fast, so I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Notice, before Jesus started his ministry, he fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and he walked his ministry out. Mm-hmm. For the rest of those 3.5 years that he lived on the earth, in the earth realm, he performed miracle signs, wonders, he preached the gospel, he taught the people in the synagogues on the mountaintop. He began to do the work that God had sent him to do. It's likewise even with the people in leadership, and I'm sure Apostle's going to correct me if I'm wrong, but it's likewise with the people in leadership. When a spirit manifests, you're not the one who casts the devil out. It's the spirit of God that rests on the inside of you. So how dare you say that these kinds come out through fasting and praying? Jesus was able to cast the spirit out because he lived a life of consecration. He lived a life of fasting. Then he is fasting. He is consecration. So how is it that you can't cast the spirit out if you have not been in consecration, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord? You're just like the seven sons of Sceva.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I'm going to turn this back over to Apostle because I want to save my time for my testimony. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I just want to even piggyback on that because, Lord Jesus, you have to understand that the spirit, somebody, I feel somebody writing something down. The body of Christ is the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But the bride of Satan is Mystery Babylon or the spirit of the dove. It's the off church. It's not the world. Let me help somebody. It's not the sinners in the world. Ooh, Lord. The enemy is recruiting people in the household of faith. They are vessels just like they are vessels of honor in the house. They are vessels of dishonor in the house.
Amen.
Such a thing called, and there's a prayer at the end of the show that I'm going to loose on here to pray. It's also in the book. By I know a lot of you had to have heard of Apostle Kimberly Daniels has a book called Take It Back, Give It Back. And it's an awesome book, and we're going to pray that prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer to break witchcraft and spells at the end of this call, if possible, if that's possible.
Amen.
But just like you are hooked up, the Word says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The same way you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, people, that's why I want to say false brethren in the house. There are people that are hooked up to the second heaven. There's the first heaven that you see, which is the atmospheric heaven. Then there's the second heaven, which is the intergalactic, or what is called outer darkness. You can find that in the Word. And then you go beyond that into the third heaven, which we cannot see, which is in eternity, where God's throne dwells and where he lives. Now, in order, you got to understand that you're either connected to God in the third heaven or you're connected to the second heaven by demonic cords, which a lot of times when we're bringing people through deliverance, I know I do, there's a lot of things I have to cut. I got to cut down their influence. I remember a little girl and praying for this little girl, and she had a third eye. And many of you may not know what that is, but in the spirit realm, I saw an eye on her forehead. And God was showing me that she's called to the prophetic, but that a psychic realm or a familiar spirit has started to circle around this young girl. And if it was not broken off or cast out, there would be some times where she would speak out of the presence of the Lord and sometimes where she would speak out of a familiar spirit. And you know when it's a familiar spirit because the flesh rises up and it gives you something that's not in the Word of God. Should nobody be telling you nothing that ain't in the Word? If you can't find it in the Word, if there's no even such spirit to really back that up. And I'm not going to say because you're not going to find ecstasy in the Bible. You're not going to find crystal meth in the Bible. You're not going to find HIV and AIDS in the Bible. You're not going to find a lot of terms that we know now in the Bible. But what you will find is a lot of the same spirit or the same root problems. And those root problems have many fruit and many branches. So in order for us to really operate in deliverance, we got to begin to cut down the root. We've been rebuking and chastising fruit for years, and it's time for us to get to the root.
The person is not just dealing with homosexuality or lust spirit. They're dealing with rejection. They're dealing with pride. They're dealing with abandonment and neglect that they didn't receive as a child. They're dealing with, many of them have been molested. Many of them have been touched. Many of them have been given over to evil spirits. And you have to know the difference. There's one guy that I knew that went to a church, and they openly just rebuked him and called him out and, "Oh, I believe, you know, we got to cast this homosexual spirit off you." And they did not ask him what his problem was. He went to the pastor. He said, "I received everything that you said. Well, do you know that I am a hermaphrodite? I suffer with both parts." So there's a little bit more prayer that you're going to have to do. It's not just me trying to be a man. I got both parts. So I'm dealing with a warfare that many people in the church don't know nothing about. And it's time for the Holy Ghost. There's too many people sick in the body of Christ. Too many people oppressed in the body of Christ. Too many people demonically inclined in the body of Christ. But all of us have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because the Holy Ghost, you can't... Jesus, I got to keep going. You cannot have the Holy Ghost and you can't pick up who's sitting next to you. You can't have the Holy Ghost and come to a church and don't know where you come into and what manner of men sit among you. Oh, God, we always talk about, you know those that labor among you. We always tie that to ministry, but that's tied to the ministers of reconciliation. You better know who labor among you. Because everything speaking in tongues they say, everything prophesying is not a prophetess. Help me, Jesus.
Yes. Then that comes with
two spheres.
Yes, but you have to have discernment.
Prophetess, I'm sorry. You can know you can jump in anytime.
I was saying that it comes from not having discernment. The only way you can see who's next to you, you got to have discernment. You have to have it.
Prophetess, I start to slap you. Because the beginning part of my lesson is talking about discernment. And I was trying to hop over that part. But a lot of people don't have it. They don't have the discerning of spirits. That's what it's called.
Yeah, discerning of spirits.
We discern people by their dress and their hair color. And we quick to, you know, we just so quick to label and judge and don't really allow the Holy Ghost to stop and tell people stuff. I remember there was a guy prophesying to somebody, and God said, he asked him, he said, "What's your problem?" He said, the Holy Ghost told him blood pressure. And automatically when he thought blood pressure, he automatically wanted to say high blood pressure. But he waited a couple minutes and the Holy Spirit said, "This man suffers with low blood pressure." And had he not waited on God, he would have called out something that God didn't say. And I just want somebody to, I'm just going to say this before I keep going. I want you to turn in your Bibles. I'm making an example out of this. So when you hear this, some people are going to laugh, but when you hear this, you're going to get what I mean. I want you to turn with me to the book of Job. Praise God.
Job.
I want you to go with me to the 2000 Psalm. Go to Psalm 2000 right now. I need you to go to Psalm 2000. Okay, I need you to go with me to James chapter 58. Go with me to James chapter 58. What I'm saying is we have hope in a lot of things that God never said. What if God never said? It's so many people in the body of Christ, prophets, that don't know God for real. They don't know the word of God. So somebody can come up and shout them real good. Say, "Absolute, come on, praise them, praise them." They can say praise them 50 times and people just going to shout because the organ is up, because the organ's plugged up, you know. And God ain't nowhere in the building. I remember seeing people shout one time, and I began to see black rain in the sanctuary. And God said, "The spirit of death is here. Lord, help me." And people are shouting, dancing. I remember being in services where I would see the cloud leave out underneath. It would go right out from underneath the door of the sanctuary. Jesus. Lord, help.
Hello.
So we really have to understand, we have to have discernment. We have to know the word of God so that we won't be deceived. Paul said, brethren, you know, you got to know the schemes of the enemy. You got to know the schemes of the wicked one. So many people don't want to hear about the devil, but if you're not educated on the matter, what you don't know will hurt you. It will blow your brains right out. We all want to scream, no weapon formed against. But how do you know how to fight against the weapon if you don't know the weapon's a weapon?
Mm-hmm.
How can you fight against something if you don't know whether it's formed or not?
That's right.
In the second heaven, prophetess, people that are psychics and soothsayers and that operate in tea leaf reading and crystal ball gazing and all that, operate in a realm called the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm.
The Akashic Records is the library. You know, anybody has a question, you know, you can stop me. I know people are like, whoa, oh my God, what in the world? Wait a second. This is a place where people get information from, people that are in businesses. I remember one friend of mine that had a friend that was praying to the pimp god, literally a spirit called the pimp god. And he had a whole lot of owls around his apartment, and he worshipped, along with it, he worshipped Lilith the Night Hag, which is an owl spirit, and also a spirit that comes to try to attack you at night, and it's also the spirit behind abortions. It's also the spirit behind SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to, you know, put salt in a circle around him, and he had to call someone else to intercede for him while he would astral project and astral travel. So the research that you guys have come across is not for naught. It is so the Holy Ghost, Barbara Stiana. It's so the Holy Ghost. Because people have an out-of-body experiences, but you have to know when God is taking you into an experience, but you have to know the difference between that and when the enemy has set you up. There's many people on this line, many people that have heard the message that have been born with what's called a veil over your face.
Please explain that, because I heard someone say that they were born with that, and I heard elderly people talk about it, but I don't fully understand it myself.
Right. A lot of people say that when they see a kid or they know a person that is gifted or, oh, you got the gift or you can see. But a lot of times, to what I've researched and understand, when someone says you are born with a veil over your face, a lot of times there's some babies that were born with the afterbirth or born with part of the birth part of the inside of the wall, the placenta, thank you, over their face.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're born with that over their face, and then they come out, and then the placenta and the rest of it come out of the mother's system. And a lot of times those people, I don't know what that has to do with anything natural, but a lot of those times those people end up seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times those people end up being called, especially out in Hollywood. Wow. Prophet just told me she was born like that too. I'm one of those people. If I was not saved, I was supposed to be called into the world as a clairvoyant.
Mm-hmm.
When I look up my sign is that of a Libra. And this is all going to make sense because people read your signs and this is going to really bust out a couple master prophets, but praise be the Lord, because you will not be deceived ever again. You deceived after this phone call, it's because you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand, the Greek word to the word demon is the word daemon, and it means the bestower of fortune or the bestower of fate. A demon is a demon as long as it's alive to make you rich.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever let your blessings become your God. Don't ever be fooled by how much money you got thinking you have favor with God. Because the enemy's job is to bless you, to bind you.
Hmm.
And you got to recognize when is God taking you through something and whether or not it's just a quick fix and I'm just doing something to get ahead for my own personal means and I don't want God. I have no remorse for God. There are people out there like that. But my sign was a Libra, and it's believed that the sign, people that are born with the sign Libra can see. They have EST, or extrasensory perception, or they can see, or they have a sixth sense.
And when I was growing up, all those things had to be cut off from me because God had called me from my mother's womb as a prophet. Y'all got to hear this. Mm-hmm. When you were spoken into being, you were spoken into being out of God's mouth and called and anointed on a day from your mother's womb. But when you came out of your mother's womb, you are now born in Satan in iniquity. You're not saved when you come out your mama's womb. In the spirit realm, God has a destiny for you. But when you hit the realm where the enemy has rule, you come underneath the curse of the law. Oh, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Mm-mm-mm.
So when you're born with a familiar spirit and a demon that came, and the root word for familiar is Famiel. It comes through family lines. Those of you that know about Kwanzaa, those of you that know about Yoruba and different tribal religions, it gives way in Santa Maria and Santeria. It's the worship of the saints, but it's actually the worship of people that have gone on before you. It's the worship of your bloodline, and that's where familiar spirits come through. Well, I don't know why, but everybody on this side of my family just drank like fish. It's a curse from a familiar spirit. It's a destiny set up by the enemy. So when you're born with God watching and an angel assigned to make sure that you get saved and get in the presence of God. But if the enemy's sway over you and your family is stronger, the familiar spirit takes you over and you're inducted into your family curse. And you keep going. Like if this side struggles with witchcraft and deadly potions, then you fall into going into the occult, and you fall into going to psychics, and you fall into going into tarot readers and tarot card readers and tea leaf readers and oh God, the people that do well wishing and all types of divining rods.
Wow.
The Akashic Records is the library of the second heaven. I know many of you have heard of the Dalai Lama, or people that chime, or people that chant. People in Buddhism, people in different religions have to tap into a sound. We tap into the spirit. That's why the word says, be careful that you don't become like a tinkling brass, oh God, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, meaning that the enemy taps into information by sound.
Mm-hmm.
We tap into revelation by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you ever been real quiet in your room or in your house, and it's almost like you can hear the light bulb screaming. You just hear a sound go, just like that.
Yes.
Or you can hear that when the snow on your television screen, there are people that tap into what is called white noise. You remember Caroline and Poltergeist, and every night the TV would go off. But when the TV would go off, the snow and the fuzz would come on. And out of that fuzz would come noises and sounds and voices. Come to the light, Caroline. Come to the light. And there's many people tapping into the white noise. There's people tapping into the sound in between the sound, getting messages. And some of those people come into the church and preach to you every week. Prophetess is back.
Oh, just one second. Okay. There is an organization. Yes, this is awesome. There's an organization out right now. I would advise that some of you Google it. Tayana, I know I could tell you to Google it, but I don't put that on anyone else. However, I remember watching that movie, and I was telling Caroline to step into the light. And many of you know Caroline died shortly after, I think after the second or the third movie.
Oh, she did die.
She sure did. She died right after the making of her last movie. Of course she died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it was telling her to step into light, it wasn't even so much about her coming into this great ball of light. You have to understand that these movies that were made, people were already interacting with the occult. They were sacrificing babies, sacrificing children, which is why not so much that the enemy was after Caroline, the enemy was after that little girl anyway and conquered. And we have to be very careful careful what we open up, you know, our spirit to, even in movies, especially Disney. We're going to get into all of that, you know, now understanding that Walt Disney was a Satanist. And everything, and one thing about Satanists, Les Claiborne, if I want to, please don't hold me to it. I got to do my research. I will come back and let you guys know. But if I'm not mistaken, it was, not Les Claiborne, Elizabeth Taylor.
I think it was Les Claiborne.
Is it Sammy Davis Jr.? The real guy that can dance really good?
Yes.
I love that man. And I understand why. Satanists.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they do, every production they come out with, every song they come out with, every movie they come out with, clothesline, everything they come out with is dedicated to the Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
What you sow into them when you purchase their items, including Walt Disney, until this day, they take a tenth of what you sow into them, and they pay tithes and they pay their homages to the Church of Satan. So when you buy stuff from them, then guess what? Some of your hard-earned dollars is going to the Church of Satan. Now, am I telling you, don't you buy that stuff anymore? No, you do what you want to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you let the Lord lead you.
Prophet, before you finish that, I know I did some research, and the headquarters of the Church of Satan comes out of California.
Yes, and I have some friends right now, Prophetess, named Rita, and she really wants to be on the call tonight, but she's grieving. She just lost a very close friend, but this woman had two sons who were very, very, very dangerous. And they were high priests in the Church of Satan. They come from California. They used to go to the Church of Satan. Very much involved. So much so, this man knew everything about me. He had spirit guides, woman of God, everything he needed to know about me at my home, what I was doing, who I was around, who I talked to, communicated with, everything. He knew it. And so, anywho, I could not understand for the life of me why it was so dangerous. And every time I would come to Rita's house, I would, you know, ask them if they wanted prayer, because we would always go to pray. And they would go up the stairs, and as soon as I began to pray in the spirit, as soon as I began to pray and talk, all of a sudden, he comes down. And one particular night, we were in prayer, and God had me to tap in so bad to where he came down with a butcher knife, and he told me, he said, if you don't shut up praying, I will cut you to shreds. Now, some of y'all are probably like, you know what, you don't have to worry, I'll pray it within my spirit. No, because at that moment, I'm like, look, honey, I grew up in the projects, and a knife don't scare me. And if it didn't scare me in the world, it's not going to scare me in the realm of the spirit. And we came against that spirit, and he got scared, and he threw the knife down, and he shriveled up like a baby, and we cast that devil out of him. The spirit of rage, we cast the spirit of rage and the spirit of rejection out of him so tough. God delivered him from that spirit. Amen. But
Amen.
This is my main point with Caroline. You know, they were telling her to step into the light. Well, woman of God, they have an organization called Sisters of Light. You have to understand that the Bible said that Satan presents himself as an angel of light. So people say, well, I had a good Jane God, which is all over me. I had this big ball of light, and it was light, 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 you know. And then all of a sudden it got dark. It had a little darkness to it, but I saw light, honey. I knew there was nobody but God. How do you know it was God? Did he come to you with a word? Did he give you instruction? Anything did he do in the word of God or in that dream line up with the word of God? Did he do anything to you to edify your soul or your spirit? Did he give you any direction? Because when the Lord comes, let me tell you something. His time is so precious, and he ain't going to waste time. So when the Lord comes to you, he's coming for a reason, and he comes with a purpose. He's not coming just to just parlay with you, you know. And so when she was being beckoned to come into this life, children at that time were compelled to come into witchcraft. Disney made so much money. If you can remember in the 80s, Tiana, I know you will remember. In the 80s, it seemed like every other month there was a Disney movie that was hitting the theaters.
Yes.
Every other month. I remember going and seeing Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Not Snow White, but the Sleeping Beauty. I remember going to the theaters as a little girl going to see that. Snow White was coming out. All these movies just started coming out, and children were flooded in their theaters. So much so, they even had Disney stores. Women would just go in and flood, especially, don't let it be Black Friday, going and purchasing all this thing, making this man's family a wealthy family. And there's nothing wrong with that. You like Mickey Mouse, that's fine. You like Disney, okay, great. You planning on going to Disney World, fine. But just understand, you better guard your spirit, and you better guard your eye gate, and you better guard your ear gate, and you better guard your mouth and your words, and you better have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Because truth be told, I could tell you to abstain from it, but if I tell you to abstain from Disney, I'm going to tell you to throw your iPads in the garbage. I'm going to tell you to throw your iPhones in the garbage. I'll tell you to throw your laptops in the garbage. Throw your Xbox in the garbage. Throw all your movies in the garbage. You got the Chronicles of Narnia. Throw that in the garbage. Oh, so you like to go and eat at Arby's? Don't go to Arby's anymore and eat at Arby's. Also, you like Wendy's, throw Wendy's in the garbage, throw McDonald's in the garbage. Why does McDonald's have the arch? Turn it sideways, it represents the number three. And also, that number three in the worldly system or in the system of the world, it represents a new world order. Same way with Arby's. Sir, ma'am, that's not a hat. That's a number 13. When you turn it sideways, clockwise, it's a number 13. In this coming year, they have some marvelous plans for us. But you know what? So if that's the case, if we're going to fast from that, throw everything in the garbage. You might as well live like a monk, sir. Live like a nun, ma'am, because everything that we're dealing with is contaminated. Facebook, contaminated. Google, contaminated. YouTube, contaminated. All these people who are, and I know I'm tapping into something, who have had positions in the Illuminati, have access, and they own everything, even this phone call, even this Blog Talk radio show. You best to believe somebody tapping in, and they hearing this conversation, and you got to know without a shadow of a doubt in your spirit that God is your keeper. The Bible said that who can lay a charge against God's elect? Can't nobody lay a charge against God's elect. If God told you to dismantle it, baby, you better dismantle it. But let me help you. If God didn't give you the mandate to dismantle something, you better shut your mouth, and you better stay in your lane, and you better ride your boat the best way you can. Ride the waves, pat the water, and you might as well pedal with your feet. Because if you try to take down something that you don't have no business taking down, you're going to get whipped in the realm of the spirit. I'm reminded of a man who came out with a DVD called The Truth, and he exposed the Illuminati so bad. I was like, oh, my God, CBN preachers, people who we love so much, so anointed, are tied in with the Illuminati. So what this DVD was telling us, do you not know six months later, they killed this man because of what he knew? Because of what he knew, murdered. Because of what he knew, bigger than kill him. You think he killed them, okay? You think they had a rivalry. They were best friends. Trust me now, I was in the old school hip-hop stuff now.
Yes.
They were best friends. They had one little bitty fight, and they blew it up, and they made money off of us talking about the East Coast, West Coast crap. And they made money off of us. They didn't stay in rivalry. No, honey. They were taken out because of what they knew.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sell your soul over to the devil, honey, sir, ma'am, guess what? You have an expiration date on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thoughts on the Illuminati. I don't care about the Illuminati. The Illuminati ain't got nothing to worry about with me, because guess what? The Bible said that who can be against me? Nobody can be against me. When the whole world's against me, God is for me. And when he is for me, he is more than the world that is against me. Mm-hmm. So you have to know who you are. Don't let the enemy get you caught up in this Illuminati class. And now, oh, look at them. And oh, look at Beyonce. And oh, look at so-and-so. And look at Rihanna. Oh, the devil, her hair is, she just the devil. Don't you get caught up in that. Because while you're trying to cast the devil out of Beyonce, your child is going out here sleeping with little Johnny. And your son might be named Mark. I'm sorry, it's just tight, but it's right. You know, and I'm saying it, one guy, I work with the youth, not all the time with GCT, but my friend is a youth pastor, or she, you know, deals with the youth. And I'm looking at how they're playing games with her, you know, and how they, you know, she, I don't want to say they play games with her, or they got her fooled, because she's very wise in that. But some of these girls that she mentor, they think they got stuff up their sleeve. And I told her yesterday, I said, they think they're free. And they think, I said, see, it takes a prophet to deal with these kids. Mm-hmm. And while we're talking about cast them out, pull it out, the children are having sex in the back of the church.
Mm. Whoa.
We talking about deliverance. Mason Temple, let me just bust Kojic out real quick, has been reported. Children, this was when Kojic was in the city of Memphis. Children have been reported having sex in Mason Temple while the midnight musicals were going on. Not just Church of God in Christ, in the Baptist church. Got more corner stores right down the street. Mom, we'll be back. You know, we're coming out of break for Sunday school in between that and service. They have like a 30 to a 45-minute break in between Sunday school. Sometimes the service starts. Kids are going behind corner stores making it out. While the parents counting up the offering from Sunday school. Smoking weed, drinking, getting in the choir stand. Lit. I see it. All the time. And we're so worried about our haters. And we're so worried about Bishop didn't let me preach. It was my turn to preach. And your babies are crying out. I need help, Mama. They're scared to come to you. You want to know why they're scared to come to you? Because you're too religious. You spooky and you scary. And every time they come to you, you throw a scripture in their face. And they need somebody to tell them the truth. Yes,
right.
Give them word. Yes, pray for them. Yes, teach them how to fast. But be real with them and let them know, honey, just like Satan is real, just like God is real, just like heaven is real, just like hell is real, AIDS is real.
That's right.
We got to teach our babies. I told y'all earlier, my six-year-old, he getting the air for it right now. My baby already know how to cast the devil out, already just by information. Now, experience, I can't say nothing about that. We'll let him place us on his teddy bears. My son already educated. He already knows. So if I go to sleep, Mama, and if a demon, he don't call them monsters anymore. If a demon mess with me, just throw my hands up and say the blood of Jesus. Yes, sir, that's how you do it.
That's
you
right.
You watch it back up. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, prophets, we have someone want to ask you a question on the line. If you guys are ready to take calls.
Oh, great! Yeah.
And for the rest of you guys, if you have any questions, comment, prayer, please, when you call in, press 1. Okay, we have Candace on the line. She want to ask a question. How are you, woman of God?
Hey, praise the Lord, guys. I think my question was answered, one of them, and please include my name in the prayer at the end. This Sunday while working the altar, someone, they touched me, and I know they're dealing with a religious spirit. Some demons were cast out of them. But this morning when I got up to pray, it just felt like my prayers weren't making it past the ceiling. So I just had to, like, worship and try to break through that atmosphere. But I know something ain't right with that. But anyway, going to my question, since you brought up the master prophet, I've kind of been having to deal with this with my mom. There's a master prophet, which y'all probably know on BET, and I remember seeing him and looking at his information. I said, oh, this is nothing but the psychic network. It's just like the psychic line. They want your birth date and stuff. This was maybe 10 years ago. I've seen the same master prophet lay hands, and I almost grabbed my heart on an anointed man of God. That man ain't been right since. And then I'm here in Iowa, and I'm looking at BET, and I see the church that I was birthed out of, my very, very first pastor on TV with this same master prophet, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, help us. Next thing you know, I'm talking to my mom, and she's caught up big time. I mean, she is caught up big time with this man and his ministry, you know. And I finally, everyone was scared to tell. I finally had to tell her, Mom, I just wrote a letter and about some other things, and I include, I said, Mom, the master prophet is not of God. It is a familiar spirit. And, you know, she hasn't said anything to me about that since. But how do we pray for our family members when they're following these occult leaders? I guess is my question.
It's really, I know I wasn't finished. I still got to give that information. I really do. Okay. We was about to really, really hit that.
Okay.
But the prayer, you do continue to pray. But what you do is educate with the Word of God. And I thank God for shows like this that really, really bring out the Word, the nuggets, the meat of the Word, so we can really understand it. And I'm just going to really finish that by going there. And I think that'll also help with your question.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
A lot of... I'm just going to go through here. The second heaven, we know this is also where, and I want you to hear these three kingdoms. In Genesis, it said that, one second. Genesis, it talks about God giving man dominion over the fish of the sea, and it says it in this order, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, fowl of the air, and over every creeping thing upon the earth. This teaching is also a teaching I taught about dominion warfare. These are the three demonic kingdoms that God, and in that ranking and in that order, that God gives us authority over. The strongest is the marine kingdom. Job talks about how dead things are born underneath the sea. And also you can look into 2 Peter, and it talks about there was a world that was born. This world was born in water. There was a race that existed before Adam, and God had to curse it because of what was going on and what was happening. So you got to think about it. Everything that is on land formed underneath the waters first.
Mm-hmm.
God brought the land from out of the water. The trees came from out of the water. The birds and the fish came from out of the water. So you got to think about that. So we have the first troops. That's the marine kingdom. Then you have the second troops, which is what we're talking about tonight. The Akashic Records, the second heaven. And then you have the third, which is a lot of times what we deal with on land and the dry places, and that's the creeping things. That's the foot troops. Those are demons that move over the realms of the places of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So the library is really called the Library of the Stars, the Akashic Records, or the intergalactic realm. It's called the Library of the Stars. So everything you know how people say it's written in the stars? We all heard that saying. Well, it says that everything about a person's so-called destiny or their fate is recorded by way of an energy or a vibration that something gives off. Anybody that is in Buddhism talks about the vibration of a heartbeat or the vibration of a car or the vibration of a bell. They tap into a vibration and they get information from that vibration.
And then when if that's not enough, you have people that tap into not astronomy, but astrology, which is the study of the stars. The Hebrew word, and I'm going to give this to you guys, the other word for stars means angels. In the book of Judges, it talks about the prophetess Deborah when she called on the stars to assist her in battle. What that meant was she called on the angels to assist her in battle. But we don't need to commune with angels to get information. And there are people that are communing with angels. I remember, and his name falls out of my head right now, but there was a prophet, and he used to kick people and punch people in the stomach and slap them, and he'd go, pow, you heal, and stuff like that. And come to find out he was doing a whole lot of crack and a whole lot of different drugs. And some people were getting blessed, but some people weren't really getting healed. And I remember it was a couple of years ago, and it was called the Lakeland Revival. And I don't know if you guys remember this. I know Prophet Sion is from Florida, so this was in Lakeland, Florida.
I've heard of it, yes.
Yes, this went on for quite a while. And he would always call on the healing angel called Emma. And he aligned himself with this angel to the point. Yes, thank you, Private Todd Bentley. And he kept aligning himself with this angel and aligning himself. He would call on him more than he was calling on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always trying to get the mantle of an old prophet called William Branham.
Yes, I've heard of him as well.
Yes. And he also, you know, went through some controversy. So you got to be careful whose mantle you try to pick up, because a lot of times the way their demise went, your ministry is going to go, you know, if you're catching their mantle, you're going to deal with double what they've dealt with. And he aligned himself with that angel, and this whole ministry just crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't want to get this.
Yes.
You get your directions from God. But psychics get their words from leftover words hanging in the atmosphere in the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm.
When you were born, like I said, you were spoken out of God's mouth. Anything that comes from heaven has to pass through that realm, even a soul out of God. You came from out of God, and you formed in your mother's womb. So anything that comes from the third heaven has to pass through the second heaven, then has to pass through the first heaven. Just like when Daniel prayed, his prayer went up, but when it came back, it was still face warfare. When you were born, that's why a lot of you were born with different defects. Some of you were born, some of you almost weren't born because of the warfare and because of the prophetic assassination that the enemy sent, but God.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand, if you could see in the realm of the spirit, there are many, many words. See, the enemy doesn't speak original words. What he does is, when God speaks, it comes to pass. But sometimes, a lot of times, prophecies that are spoken hang in an atmosphere. And they can hang for years over a person's life while that word unveils over their life. And some of you are going to have to go back over this and really, really listen it at it so you can really understand it. But if you could see, your eyes were open in your living room or wherever you're sitting listening to this show, you would see the room filled with words, filled with letters, filled with punctuation, filled with sentences and paragraphs. The enemy uses psychics to literally go in the realm of the spirit, and they snatch out ands and does and all those and therefores from prophecies. And they bring back dead words, and they give recycled old words to people that operate in the flesh. God said that, and now people that are born, that turn into psychics, were originally born prophets. The difference is they prostituted their gift and their anointing became tainted.
Yes.
So the only difference between an anointed prophet of God and a psychic, Lord, somebody need to hear that. Between a prophet, a psychic, and a witch is your obedience to God. It's your level of obedience.
Wow.
Because God can save a witch.
Yes.
God can save a psychic and purify them. That's the only difference. They didn't choose to purify. And it's, Lord, geez, that's why the sin of witchcraft is as rebellion. Because you're one act of disobedience away from becoming a witch. Somebody need to hear that.
yes. I got a question, but before I answer this question, I have some new callers on the line, and if you guys need to ask a question or prayer or anything, please press 1. My question is, Apostle, a prophet, if a prophet is their prophet, can they switch over to the psychic realm or to the witchcraft realm? Well, I know the witchcraft realm, but to the psychic realm without them really realizing they've switched over?
Yes,
because it's a thin line between good and evil.
Right.
So
I'm sorry.
You know, I want to ask that question because I think a lot of times they switch over and they don't realize they're over there. If I make sense.
It's the cockiness. It's the arrogance. When you have a lot of people that are gifted, a lot of times they rely more on their gifts than really the Holy Ghost, which is the anointing. So a lot of times people get caught up in their prayer life. They get caught up in what they're doing for God rather than realizing, as great as my prayer is, I still need to depend on God. So a cocky prophet, a very arrogant prophet, is very, very soulish. And a lot of times they operate out of the soulish realm. And sometimes someone can give you a word that's on you but not a word that's in you or made to go in you. Sometimes somebody can speak what's over you. The psychic looks on you and tells you your desires. The prophet looks in you to see what's hindering you from hearing God for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, to be honest, Lord Jesus, many of us should not rely on, help me with this guy. A lot of us should not rely on prophets like the Bible like we do now.
Okay.
There's so many people that follow behind prophets when the prophet's supposed to be sent to you.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful chasing prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Careful being a roadie and a groupie for a prophet, because after a while you're going to get something that you didn't bank on. I don't push my way into the presence of anointed people. That's very dangerous.
Yes.
It's dangerous to get caught with that anointing, because God is funny. God will allow them to give you a word if you're following them in your flesh. And God will allow a lying spirit to hit them and then give you an off word. And that prophet can still be an on prophet. But because of your disobedience, I've seen people get up and prophesy all around me and myth just won't even come to me. Everybody in the place got a prophecy, but an actual prophet. Or somebody, you know, they'll prophesy everybody and it's just off. But when they get to me, I put such a demand on the Holy Ghost that when you get to me, you got to say what God's saying, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't say nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to, where you really have to be. Really have to be. And I think you have to really, really pray to know, okay, is this person, because sometimes you can feel somebody about to give you a word and you know it's off.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel it coming. You're like, oh, God. Here you go. Okay,
now,
I can tell you what you're going to say before you say it.
Apostle, I have another question. You say placing a demand. How, if you're in a service like that, how do you place a demand when a man or woman is about to give you a word? How do you do that?
Stay in prayer.
Okay.
The prayer says to pray without ceasing. In a service, and that's what I do, when I see foolishness going on, I think, well, I stay in prayer for the entire service.
Okay.
I say a prayer and I pull on the anointing. Because if you pull the anointing hard enough, it's going to expose something that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either going to bring the service into correction, or you're going to see what you need to see and make the, you know, you make the necessary adjustments. You get up and leave.
I got
really got to pull. Every time I go into the service, I pull hard in my spirit on the anointing. God, it's you. God, your spirit. Your spirit, Lord, your spirit. We want your spirit, Lord. Speak, Lord. Even in while they're doing offering and hugging each other, I'm saying, God, take control of the service.
Mm-hmm.
Take control, God. I'm praying for the service. Because somebody really needs a deliverance.
Yes.
Somebody really needs something from God, you know.
Yes. Well, I have a call on the line, but I'm going to bring Candace back in to make sure you answered her question.
Well, I'm just going to throw this part in. The reason why people, and this is going to help everybody, and then we'll really take questions. The reason why people can tap in and they get information is because there's stuff, like I said, when you came out of God's mouth, everything about you went through the second heaven, and demons recorded the information that was written about you.
Mm-hmm.
The word says Jesus came in the volume of the book. He said, in the volume of the book that is written of me, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. There are books in heaven open being written about your life. And the enemy doesn't know all, but he knows potential and he knows statistics. And psychics give out their little prophecies like the actuarial reports or false prophets give out stuff just like an insurance company. They don't know everybody that's going to die, but they know a certain percentage of people are going to die who get red cars or who buy faster cars. So they actually put an insurance policy down on someone. The insurance policy is much higher for someone that has a red car than someone that has a slower brown car or a gold car. Mm-hmm. Because they know someone in a fast car or a black car is going to want to speed for some odd reason. White, red cars and black cars tend to speed for some reason. And they put it in statistics. And the enemy works off of that because he does not really know. But he knows based on human statistics. A lot of people, and this is how people find out your information. When you're going, when your soul is passing through that realm and going, when God speaks you into being, hallelujah, you end up in your mother's womb. Everything that's written about you is written down, and they take notice of that. They can't stop the word of God, but if they can stop the progress of that word by putting a hindrance there, they'll try to do it. So when someone hooks up to that realm and they meditate and they empty out their mind and allow their spirit to be open to different voices and different entities, and a lot of those people make altars in their homes to different deities, what will happen is a lot of times, and that's why if you ask, go by the master prophet, he always asks you for your birthday. Woo, Lord, because your birthday gives him your sign. And your sign is hooked up to the zodiac, and your zodiac is hooked up to the stars, and those stars are fallen angels. So that's why he needs your sign. He needs, oh, the prophet loves birthdays, so let's get your name and let's get your sign, because he knows if he can get your sign, he can get your all prophecy. He can get what's supposed to happen to you humanistically, but you'll never get what God wants you to do divinely.
Yes.
Because at the end of it, true prophecy comes if you would obey the Lord, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord, if you do the will of God, ooh, Lord, you'll eat the fat of the land. If you. The word of God comes with conditions. Prophecy is conditional.
Yes.
The written word never changes, but the spoken word of God, the rhema word of God, can be changed based on the change of a person's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy, that's right, come on, King Hezekiah, the enemy knows that. Oh, God, I really wish I could get to the Witcher Indoor tonight, but I can't do it. Lord Jesus, there's so much.
Amen. Well, I have one person. I'm going to bring Candace back on to see if you answered her question.
Yes, yes.
Hey, I'm just
Hi, Candace. Did Apostle answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just soaking it in and getting the information. Do I also come against a specific strong man? Do I come against, I guess, familiar spirit? Lying strong man too when I'm praying for my mom?
Yes, there you go. Lying spirit, because that's what it is. It's spirit of deception.
Deception, okay, cool.
So you got it, lying spirit, that's right.
Okay. I'm good. I'm listening. You keep on teaching.
Amen. Okay, Pastor, you can continue. No one has a question, I'm assuming.
Okay. About to hand it over to Prophetess in a second.
Okay.
But like I said last week, there's three categories of witch, and they operate. There's blind witches, or what is called a natural witch. These are people who operate in supernatural things, but they have no real awareness of it. They operate in supernatural knowing, and many operate through what is called a third eye. And that needs to be shut down through deliverance.
Yes.
So that the third eye and their foreheads must be closed, and their demon spirits must be cast out and denounced. I wanted to say earlier, the meaning of exorcism does not mean the same thing as the biblical casting out of demons. Casting out means to cast them out off to punishment, to cast them out of the person, to purge that person so they'll be delivered. Exorcism is asking a demon to behave for you. That's the big difference. That's why we're deliverance ministers, not exorcists. Because exorcists plead and beg and ask a demon questions and surveys. You said with rosaries and, yeah, and holy artifacts and things that God never, crosses and things, we're going to get into all that stuff.
Ooh, yeah.
We got to deal with children. We got to deal with toys. We got to deal with a whole bunch of stuff. I'm just mentioning this really quickly so somebody can have this and it can be on the recording. Then you have what is called a functional witch.
Okay.
I make a quick mention of it because I wanted to go through the seven different kinds of witchcraft. But we're going to have to do that for another day. But functional witches operate in demonic premeditation. They carefully plan to work darkness against innocent bystanders. These are the real witches. They ain't playing with you. They want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And they function in disguise. They love to come in and set themselves in churches and prayer groups to overthrow the church. Even relationships that God said never sever ties with, do it because it could literally have grave results. It could send you to the grave. They also ensnare people by using food to try and curse people. Stop eating from folk you don't trust, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then thirdly, charismatic witchcraft is the most difficult type of witchcraft to detect.
Okay.
This is a witchcraft that subliminally operates through people in church.
Yes.
Witchcraft and rebellion are the same. Witchcraft is sin. You got to understand, you got to operate in the flesh in order to operate in witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Operating in the flesh introduces you. Galatians 5 and 20 talks about that. Witchcraft is one of the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say it's a work of the spirit, it's a work of the flesh. So that means that there's a spiritual place even in your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Your flesh now, and your skin are not the same thing. I want somebody to think about that.
Yes. Now, Apostle, I have a question from Ramon. I'm going to bring him in. Okay. Hi, Ramon. You have a question?
Yes. I have actually two questions. The first question is, I'm trying to figure out how is it possible for someone to communicate with angels? Because I was thinking, well, maybe they're not really communicating with God angels. Maybe it's the fallen angels or whatever. But I need, like, clarity on that because I'm kind of like, how can somebody communicate with angels? I thought the only way an angel can communicate with somebody as far as that's on earth is if they were sent from God. So I was my mind was kind of twisted on that. And my second question is, what is the difference between a prophet and a seer prophet?
I'm not supposed to laugh, but these are some good questions. Number one, you got it exactly right. If someone is communing with what they say angels, please don't listen to them. If it's not an experience sent by the Lord and God sent that angel with a message from the Lord, it's not God. And ain't no angel that I've ever read that gave the person their name. The Bible listed the angel's name, but the angel never told Mary that he was Gabriel. He just came with the message. He didn't say, I am the angel Gabriel. Let me tell you something. There was a woman that we knew back in the day that was trying to pull people out of our church. And let me get to your second question. And she said, you guys got to come up my prayer group. And she was feeding them every week. But this woman was really operating in some heavy witchcraft. She said, you guys, I want y'all to come to the birthday of my baby. And she set up a birthday cake. And the pastor told them, y'all shouldn't go to this woman's house. I don't know her lifestyle. She just popped up in the church, and she just started teaching along with me, and I ain't sanctioned her. And they started going to her house, eating her food. Some folk was getting sick. So that one time she came, she said, "We're going to have a birthday party. My baby's having a birthday party." I said, "Well, you ain't got no kids." She said, "I'm about to have one. I'm about to have one." They invited her to the house, Ramon. She invited them to her house. When they came in, she had a birthday cake lit with candles on it. And she said, "I want you all to go and pray with me because I'm about to have my baby. And the Holy Ghost is the Father."
Mm.
And as, oh, Jesus, there were folks looking at her and saying, "What'd you say?" She said, "The Holy Ghost impregnated me, and I'm having his son. And I want him to be here." It sounds funny, but it's demonic. She said, "I want y'all to be here for the birth of it." And she began to bend all the way backwards until her hands touched the floor. And she began to make a noise. Them folk hit that door like lickety split. And Pastor said, "If I see the rest of y'all go over a house again, I'm going to ban you from the church. I'm going to put you out of this church because I told you, don't go over there." And when God tells you, I've been saying this, but anytime your spirit goes about a person, and you know your spirit is right, you better listen to that "eh." When you see people that are nice and happy, and you're like, "I hear them speaking in tongues, but something about that right there. I just don't feel the power of God. I don't feel the presence of God. I feel tongues. I feel a spirit with that. Something trying to move in the atmosphere that's not the spirit. The spirit moves in the flow. The enemy moves in a slither, and you can always hear it. You can always hear it. And then number two, the difference between a prophet and a seer prophet. A prophet is the Hebrew word nabi or navi. That's one that hears more than sees. But the seer prophet is one that, and I'm one of those, I was called out as one of those, where the regular prophet, which is a nabi or navi, just hears the audible, the internal voice of the Lord in their spirit being impressed to them. They can have visions and dreams, but primarily they just hear the voice of the Lord. Well, I am a Shtozei prophet. I'm a Ra'ah. I'm a seer prophet when I was a prophet. So while one person was just a regular prophet dealing with just hearing, I was dealing with hearing and dreams and visions and colors and numbers and experiences and riddles and enigmas and puzzles and all kinds of stuff. So the seer prophet sees and they hear, and out of their seeing and their hearing and their experiences come a word.
Oh.
And God illuminates the word of God through what they see, hear, and experience. And I'm just going to get this prophecy. But Ramon, you're a seer prophet. And God is about to reveal to you much of what you've seen and heard. You've seen and heard it, but there's been no revelation. God's about to reveal to you what you've been seeing and hearing. Praise God.
Wow.
Praise God. I hope that answered your question. I hope that answered
yes, you. Oh, yeah, you answered both of my questions. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Praise God.
God bless you, man of God.
All right, God bless you, too.
Since we're talking about the prophet, I just want to ask this one quick question. What's the name of a prophet when they see and they hear? They do both.
The seer prophet or the shozei.
Okay.
The other Greek word is ra'ah. That's, you know, in the Bible, the original prophet was called the seer, and that's that seer prophet. That's what it's called. The Hebrew word is shozei or kozei. But it's the seer prophet. That's the one that hears as well as sees.
Okay, I have a question on the chat line. Then we have another caller. It said, how about a person who say they see an angel in the room or the church, and that angel is taking that person to another person's house, so that person starts calling out the address and et cetera?
Ooh, Lord. Yeah, that's a spirit guide. That's an off spirit. Yeah, it's an angel. It's a dark angel. That's a shadow. Because God's not going to look over you and tell somebody something else about you. He's going to tell you first. See, when you're a real prophet, I can only come to confirm. I can only come if God has already spoken to you.
Mm-hmm.
When no angel or prophet sent to anybody with any original message, they came because God had already been dealing with the person, and then they sent to enforce that word so they would come to pass, and they broke the rule of the enemy.
So, and anytime you have a prophecy over your life, it keeps you. It seals you from the hand of the enemy. It seals you from being taken out early. Oh, Jesus, I've got to calm down. Okay,
we have prayer. Eli Mathis, Mason, I'm sorry. He wants prayer, so I'm going to bring him on.
Okay.
Hello, Eli. How are you?
All right. You?
You want prayer?
I'm doing good. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, what do you want prayer for specifically, Eli?
I want to change my life back over to Christ.
We can do that right now. Father God, we thank you right now, God, for restoration. We thank you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, God, for this man of God. God, I ask God right now and open up your spirit, God, because God's going to do some more things in your spirit beyond just a lip service experience. God's going to show you himself. God's going to show you his glory. He's going to show you the beauty of his holiness. God, I thank you, God, for this man of God. God, I ask you to restore him. God, he wants to rededicate his life. He wants to give his life back over, God, but in a deeper way, God, in a much more. He wants to experience you, Lord. And God, I pray, God, that you would reveal yourself to him. And Father God, I join hands with him. Father God, as he lifts his hands, God, and he sits where he is, God, we thank God that you have already redeemed him. You've already spoken him in. God, I ask, God, that you would forgive every sin, God, that's charged to him, Father God, and we denounce and we renounce every curse of the enemy that's been spoken over his life. And God, fill him with your Holy Spirit. Give him understanding, God. God, help him to know right now, God, that you are already his. He's already yours. God, all you had to do was return. And God, we thank you, God, he was returned it, God, even to the foundation. Ooh, yes, God. Hallelujah. Ah, glory, glory, glory. God, even to the stone which the builders rejected. God, you said, Lord Jesus, you came unto your own received you not. But God, as many as receive you, you've given them the power to become the sons of God. I thank you, God, for this son. God, empower him, God, to do what you only called him to do in this time for this generation, in his life, God, and for his family. God, I pray, God, that you would answer this prayer, God, release it to him, and give him peace in his spirit, God. Oh, God, release him from the spirit of worry and fear and condemnation, and give him peace. Give him peace, and give him joy back in his salvation, God, in
yes.
Jesus' mighty name. And we all believe it. And
yes,
he
God.
Believes it, God.
Oof, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen.
God bless you, Eli. I receive it.
Amen. God bless you, man of God.
Thank you.
Thank you. God is faithful. Woo, Jesus.
Yo, Lord.
Amen.
I'm trying not to have church. I really am trying.
You can, we got 27 more minutes, and I don't know if nobody want to ask a question, but woo, I feel it.
What you about to say?
You guys, if you want to ask a question, prayer, anything, don't forget you can. We have 27 more minutes. And please don't call, don't press 1, 2, 3 minutes before the show ends, because we really want to give them time to minister. And we do have like 27 more minutes, so.
I'm going to do this real quick. I'm going to do like 5 of this. I'm going to do a one shot, one kill. I'm going to pretty much give you a preview for next week and also pray this prayer. And I'm going to give it over to prophetess.
Okay.
But the 7 types of witchcraft that we're going to be going into more in depth in a later date, the 7-fold witchcraft is the first one is works of light and riches.
Mm-hmm.
Second is works of mystery. Third is works of science or skills.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth is works of retribution and punishment. Fifth is works of love, which I bring to church all the time. Then works of intrigue. And then lastly, works of malediction and death. And we're going to go back over those at a later date, but I'm going to do what God's instructed me to do, and I'm going to hand this over to Prophetess so she can finish out her testimony. We're going to take more calls. But
yes.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of the wizard, all Native American witchcraft spirits, and all other territorial witchcraft spirits.
Mm-hmm.
I renounce the religious spirit, the spirit of unforgiveness,
bitterness, resentment, anger, hate, and spite, the root of bitterness and malice, and any other hindering spirit in the lives of your people, God. We blind the third eye of the mediums and psychics and all of their physical and psychic and spiritual attacks against the people of God and all that concerns the people of God. Every assignment, operation, seeding, work, plan, activity, trap, wild, and snare is blocked, bound, and, oh God, repelled from your people, their personal families, their businesses, and their ministry affairs. God,
yes,
I speak all curses, hexes, vexes, bewitchments, enchantments, cantrips, ligatures, judgments of witches and warlocks, and acts of evil, and their curse to the root. Witchcraft, sorcery, magic, and candle magic, potion magic, black magic, white magic, contagious magic, potion magic, oh God, omens, oh God, they have no power working against our assignments in life. I bind the spirit of New Age, century, and Europe forces, and they cannot penetrate the barriers of protection for the people of God. God, I speak out that every working of a curse, ritual, or sacrifice of Satan is counted as null and void. I plead the blood of Jesus against every evil act and declare that no weapon formed against the people of God will prosper. All demonic threats, oh God, thoughts, mental accusations, statements, and ideations are cast down and will not be become strongholds for the devil's use. We renounce all self-inflicted curses through narrative confession, imagery, and magnification that we have opened the doors to, Holy Ghost. Father, God, in the name of Jesus, we cancel every demonic strategy against us and the words that we are called to be connected with, covered by, and called to cover. They will never manifest or come to pass in our curse and destroy at their root. We render them of no effect. They are just by God spoiled and put to open shame. Every plan of the enemy will never be seeded into the life of the people of God. God, they will not take root. God, we still, God, decree and declare, God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And as soon as the enemy attacks God, that we speak that the reinforcements of the Lord will be launched against him, and his seed dried up, and we cast down every, oh God, made a
manifestation.
It's broken off our ministries, our families, the people of God, oh God, our businesses and ministries forever, immediately, completely, and permanently, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And I just want to thank God tonight before prophets get on, because one soul was saved on tonight, and the angels rejoice in heaven when one soul is saved. And I'm just so excited, because this is what this radio show is about. We want people to be saved, set free, delivered, knowledge. We want all these things. So you guys, please spread the word about this show, because the point of this show is for lives to be changed.
Amen. Just 1 second, Prophetess, because this, okay. Phone tried to die.
Jesus.
Oh, Lord, I'm just excited because, you know, the devil's so ugly and sleuthy.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if everyone heard my testimony of God. Delivering me from the occult. And that's how I know about a lot of this. And you know, we want things, and I'm gonna take my time, but I'm gonna hurry up at the same time, if that makes any sense. But
amen.
You know, the part of the ministry, Prophetess, this is my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really trying to be emotional. This is my baby.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the different types of prophets. And when people address me, and people, God, I want you to hear me. When people address me as prophetess, it's not because a lot of other people have that title.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about a title. I don't give into titles because at my church, the church that I go to right now, I'm not addressed as prophetess. Believe it or not, I'm addressed as missionary, and I'm not a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
But when I hit the pulpit, or when I hit those hallways, I walk in my office.
Yes.
When I go to bed at night, I still walk in my office because God still has to deal with me in dreams and visions. And I dream like crazy. And majority of my dreams now have been on demonic possession. And a lot of the times when I dream like that, God's dealing with me. He's allowing me to see what we're about to face in this season. That's how I'm able to tell you, and that's how I'm able to prophesy to you and tell you that this season that we're in, the churches, let me say this, and this is what I heard the Lord say, the next three seasons in the realm of the spirit, we're going to see demonic manifestations like never before.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to church expecting to hear a word from God with some of the real deliverance ministries, and you may not get a word from God because the pastor is going to be casting out devils,
mm-hmm.
not people who are sick. And so I think I have breast cancer. Well, we called out the spirit of infirmity to be cast out in Jesus' name. We're talking about people who are coming in that will levitate off of the ground. We're talking mm-hmm. about people who are giving birth to demons. We're talking about people who are scrubbing the ground with her body. I saw a woman in a service with her hands lifted. She was laying flat on her back with her feet lifted up while I was in this occultic ministry. And she slid on her back with her feet lifted and her hands up, and her back was sliding, and the enemy was trying to kill her and rammed her head into the set of drums.
Hmm.
I've seen little 14-year-old girls, beautiful, cute girls, petite, little, small. Tayana probably a little smaller than you.
Mm-hmm.
These women, huge women, four or five women at a time off of her and then levitated. And could not believe my eyes. And I'm like, I know this girl is not, I know she's got to be touching the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You thinking that these tricks Chris Angel do, that is fake? He's not a magician. He's a Satanist. And he has that authority. And he has that right, according to his religion,
mm-hmm.
to do that because he's sold out.
Yes.
But the problem with us is we're not sold out. We don't have a prayer life.
Mm-mm.
We don't know how to tap the heart of God. We don't want to worship. We don't want to pray. We don't want to fast. We don't want to turn down pizza. We don't want to eat grilled fish, or we don't want to eat the mushrooms and the onions and the, you know, the healthier things, the fast. I mean, like, literally live a lifestyle of fasting. We don't want the Nazarite vow. We don't want to obey God, but we want his hand. We want what God, God is not a slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
Prophetess, it's not a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And we want God to pay our light bill. We still believe in God to pay light bills. We still believe in God to pay water bills. We still believe in God for deliverance from headaches. We still believe, and now I'm about to go real deep, we still believe in God to deliver us from cancer. We still believe in God to heal our body from AIDS, but you the one who laid down with the person anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of your thing. You know, we wanna believe God for houses, for cars, money, account, position. We wanna believe God for stuff like that. And we don't have endurance to walk 4.5 blocks to the
mm-hmm.
store. We complaining because our neighbor won't take us.
Mhm.
When Jesus walked everywhere.
He sure did.
He walked everywhere. Candace, your dream blessed me when you said you dreamt of the words walk, you know, come out. And I know I don't mean that, but, you know, because I told you what that dream meant. But we don't want to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. We don't want to count up the cost. We just want to throw revivals and shout people up and listen, and this is my testimony. I've been in so many revivals. I've done revivals. If I can't get one person delivered,
saved.
I can't call one person to say, I want to be sold out for Jesus Christ after this revival. If I can't come and grab a microphone and somebody forgot who I was because they saw Jesus running the revival, I did not do anything. Your dancing does not move God. Your speaking in tongues does not move God. Your screaming, spitting, let me say this, and this is going to mess a lot of you up. Your worship does not move God because you don't know how to properly worship. You picking up a Bible and you're reading the Bible, it does not move God. You know what moves God? Your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know what pleases God? Your obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Your highest form of worship is obedience. Will you obey Him? And we play with it. I want somebody, prophetess, I'm serious. I want somebody to call in, like right now. I challenge you. Please press 1. If you are possessed with a spirit, I want you to press 1 right now. And I want to see what the church going to do.
Mm-hmm.
When Charleston, I keep saying I'm going to get him on his line. I almost called him today and couldn't find out the wrong number. I got to find him. I promise y'all I will make it my business to have him on his line next week unless he's busy. Charleston had a total of 27 spirits. We are playing with God.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing. Africa. Apostle Spiritual Father, Apostle Edward Nufe, from Nigeria. He's not from Nigeria. Where is he from? Oh, he's, y'all, stretch your hand to Apostle and pray. He said somewhere over there. I thought it was Nigeria. I don't know for certain, but they were in a revival, and a witch doctor came in, and his spiritual father, apostles, you know, natural spiritual father, not biological, but his real spiritual father, was at this revival, and apostle, which is Apostle Edward Mufay, and his spiritual father was there. So it's like apostle, spiritual father, and spiritual grandfather, if you want to put it like that, just so you can get the point, short bus it. They were there. Now, Apostle Edward Mufay's spiritual father was preaching, and a witch doctor came in and started to throw his spells and all this mess. And he said, let him do what he want to do. Matter of fact, I invite him to sit on the front row. Let him come in. Let him sit down. Sit him down. He want to throw witchcraft and he want to cast spells. Put him on the front row. He came in the right revival. He got delivered.
Mm-hmm.
But a lion, a huge lion, came in the revival.
Mm.
And threatened to attack the people. And when he called on the name of Jesus Christ, a lightning bolt came out of nowhere and struck the demon out this lion. When I say struck the lion, you talking about crispy crunchy.
Mm.
Killed the lion right on spot. We, broad daylight, no storm, nothing. Y'all, we playing with God. We can't do it right now. The anointing that we have, we got so much power. I'm going to tell you something. Apostle and Master and my six-year-old son and a couple of my intercessors, they joke with me, and when we talk about X-Men, they call me Storm because I'm known to go outside because I know who lives in me. Sharonda can't do it because if Sharonda's trying to do it, I'd have got carried away somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But prophetess, I'm very well known to go right outside and stand in the middle of the street when the television is telling us to take cover.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord told me one day to stand outside. This tornado, I was living right down the street from this mall. Tornado was ripping this mall over. I had family who was in that mall, prophetess.
Mm-hmm.
The tornado struck this mall, and it just tore the mall to shreds. Just ripped the roof off of this mall, everything, you know. I wouldn't say tore to shreds, but it was really like blowing windows out. Restaurants were destroyed, things like that. Some people, businesses shut down and they had to rebuild and things like that. But I had family that was in that mall and they were trapped.
Hmm.
And the Lord said, you stand outside. I don't know how, except by the Holy Ghost, where the strength came from for me to stand outside because the winds were just that strong. My sister, my blood sister, rushed to my house because she was in labor. This was February 4th. I want to say 2006. God had just pulled me out of the occult. And I mean, when I say just pulled me out, I had not been gone from the occultic ministry 3 months. And I stood out there in the middle of the street and began to curse the storm. It wasn't 5 minutes later this tornado dissipated, when it was scheduled to hit another city. And my sister was able to have her baby. That was on February the 5th. She had a baby February 6th.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know the authority. And if another tornado touched down, I still believe the God that lives in me will tell it what to do and where for it to go. And you know, we have to have that same anointing. We have to have the same belief system,
mm-hmm.
The same spirit of the Lord to live on the inside of us.
Yes.
To be able to speak to that. If a tornado came to your house right now, and I'm not doing, this is not competition here, but if a tornado came out in your alley right now, right down your road, what would you do?
Most people probably run.
Run. And practice. I'm going to be honest with you. As many tornadoes God had me to speak to, as many times God had me to stop the rain while we were walking, because we don't have a vehicle yet. All the times we walked and the storm was coming, and I would command her, I would hold it. Clouds, you better not release a drop until we make it in the house. Every time. Apostle will tell you, every time. Never fail. It works. Because
mm-hmm.
God is real.
Yes,
He's
right.
The creator of this universe. Why wouldn't it not work? What's so hard about it? I don't get it. A woman God called me on this line, the mother from breast cancer. What is so hard about it?
Mm-hmm.
You dealing with illness in your body, man of God, woman of God, sis, bro. You dealing with stuff in your body. You
mm-hmm.
fighting with members of your flesh.
Yes.
You're struggling in your faith. You ain't got time. You ain't got time for that. I know we only got like 8 minutes left. You ain't got time to struggle in your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got time to be laying around. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You belong to the Holy Ghost, beloved.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you allow another man to touch your body when you're a man or a woman?
Mm.
How dare you to allow a woman to touch your body? How dare you? He's not your husband. She's not your wife.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have time. It's the trick of the enemy. Because
yeah.
it's linked to deliverance. Because the enemy knows if I can get them to fall, they won't perform a deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get them to fall, condemnation and hit them and they won't prophesy. See, it ain't about you laying down. It ain't about you smoking weed. It ain't about you gambling. It ain't about you committing grunting. It ain't about you lying. But if the enemy can get you caught up in a sin, condemnation will hit you and it blocks you from being obedient to God. So therefore, you can't worship. You can't
mm-hmm.
give God no praise. You can't lift up holy and clean hands. You can't give God what you owe Him because you're condemning yourself because of the sin that you allow yourself to fall in because you lazy and you trifling and you don't want to die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm.
Oh, this is for me too.
Yes.
Nobody under the sound of my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, even my dog Duke, he is there. Well, we fast, Duke is on the fast. Hey,
amen.
He's on the fast, too. No alcohol for you today, Duke. I'm sorry. You're drinking water, too, bro.
Okay, prophetess.
We eat mushrooms. Duke, you got a box of mushrooms just for you. The whole house go fast.
Amen. Prophetess, well, we have one more call. But before you do that, we have some people on here that's from Atlanta, Georgia. And I want you to let them know that you guys will be in Atlanta this week.
Yes. Yes, we will. We will be in. I need Apostle back in here. Hold on 1 second. Apostle. Yes, we will be in Atlanta. As a matter of fact, we will be on the road Thursday morning, early Thursday morning, and we're pulling it up on the internet right now. I'm not computer savvy. And it's called the God Encounter 2012. It's going to be December the 14th at 7 p.m. and December the 15th at 4 p.m. And it's 4 BC Street in Newland, Georgia, 30263.
Okay. And if you guys are friends with me on Facebook, you can inbox me on Facebook. But Prophetess, we're going to go ahead and take a call from Dora. She wants to talk about a dream and a prayer. And I want to let you guys know we got 5 minutes, so it has to really be quick.
Yes, it's got to be quick.
Hi, Doris. How are you?
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
We're good. Well, the dream I had was, I was in the cloud, and I was walking toward this green door, and I turned and looked over my shoulder, and there was these baby angels. They was all in white. They was up in the air, and I said, "Well, go back up to God." And they was going back up. Except one baby turned back, and it was a Down syndrome baby, and the baby just smiled at me. It just smiled, and then all of a sudden they went up, and it was a big wind. And I grabbed because I said, you causing too much confusion down here. You're going back up to God. And I grabbed the door handle because the wind was really strong. I didn't feel anything bad from the dream or anything like that because the baby was smiling. They were all smiling. And they went back up to God.
Okay, real quick, I didn't get an interpretation for that dream, but I can tell you what you experienced. There are times, and I have done this, where I've actually died on the table from having an abortion. But when a woman aborts her children or child, or when a woman miscarries or something happens to a baby, of course, you know, by what we've read before, Divine Revelation of Heaven and Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Kay Baxter, this is according to her testimony, that babies often go back to heaven. And for the fact that you saw a baby with special needs, I want to say I really question that, but at the same token, a lot of times God allow you to experience what goes on in the realm of the spirit. So you're one of the dreamers who will probably or more than likely have experiences such as Mary Kay Baxter. God's getting ready to take you out of your body to experience things in the heavenlies. Wow. And I've never this is my first time ever prophesying the way I'm about to right now. There's going to be a night where you're going to go to sleep and you're going to dream about the second heaven.
Okay.
You're going to go to sleep. I'm speaking this by faith. I don't know when. I'm not going to put a time on it. But you're going to go to sleep and you're going to see black and you're going to see stars. As if you're out of space. God is going to cause you to travel in the realm of the spirit, not astral projecting. He's going to cause you to travel in the spirit because God got a lot he wants to show you.
Okay.
Your dreams probably would be the best time of your life because of so many things that God will want to show you. And some things may scare you. Some things may bother you. But I see where God is going to take you up a lot in your dreams. You'll hardly be on the ground. Majority of your dreams will probably be mid-air to above clouds, if not on clouds, in clouds, second heaven. Amen? Because God wants to really show you some things. He wants to reveal some things to you.
He's showing... it's times where I can see where he wakes me up like midway. I'm not asleep. I'm not up, but I'm not asleep. And he shows me like top of the trees or he shows me different things. It just be small things at different times. I was just interested about the babies, you know. I did have a tubal pregnancy. I had emergency surgery. So I did have that. But that was
That could be part of the reason why you saw those babies. Because I didn't get angels.
Okay.
I saw people who had children who have died and gone on. That's what I saw.
Okay.
A Apostle wants to know, were you preaching?
No, not no. I'm not preaching. I'm a preachy, but you know, people don't listen. You know. I start talking about God in a minute. If you listen, I start talking about him. Because I know
y'all,
that he comes.
We have a minute left.
That's all right.
Please email us, because it's money coming to you, and God is telling you to go through that door. There's a door God's going to open, but you have to contact this woman of God. God is giving you the green light.
Okay, yes.
It's 901-300-9039. That's 901-300-9039, you guys.
Amen.
901-300-3039.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, you guys, it's been a blessing on tonight. I want you guys to stay tuned for next week. We'll be on with them next week. And just keep watching. If you guys find me on Facebook, if you need information on them, you can find me on Facebook. Most of you guys probably already know I'm on Facebook. I love you guys, and be blessed.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you, and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, God bless. And all